So I'm glad to get to know you, and I wanted to let you know this is my first introduction to Soof. I've known about Buff in Bellingham for quite a long time, but not Soof. What occurs to me thinking about it is that I'm really glad it's Soof and not Suff. But then on the other hand, it's probably better that it's Buff and not Boof. So that's just my quirky thoughts on the names. I'm not Unitarian, but my spiritual community is the Center for Spiritual Living in Bellingham, which is actually quite similar in philosophy to the Unitarian. So George gave you my introduction. I just wanted to add one thing to that, and that is that if you wanted to get in touch with me after the talk, I have a website on the Psychology Today Therapist website. So you could email me or call me, just find me on Psychology Today. So today I'm going to speak as a mental health counselor and as a fellow spiritual human being. I'm in the muck with you about getting through these hard times. I really enjoyed the song, How Can I Keep From Singing? And I just noticed that when I wrote that down in my notes, I wrote, how can I keep from smiling? Well, maybe they go together. Singing does make us smile. And it leads me back to the opening words, which I offer to you. And I'm going to read those again. An ancient hate is passing from the world. And with it goes all hatred and all fear. Look back no longer, for what lies ahead of us is all you ever wanted in your heart. When I first heard these words a few months ago from the Course in Miracles, I thought, yes, this is it. This is it exactly. What I and so many people, at least in my generation, have been hoping for in our society clear back from the 1960s. In our hearts and our deepest souls, we have longed for and we have worked for transformation that would bring justice and equity, healing, peace, and compassion for all beings. I know these are lofty words, and yet today I do want to bring you a message of hope. I realize this might be a hard sell on January 3rd, 2021, as we may dream of a new year, but we are still pretty much in the darkness of the coronavirus pandemic of 2020. Yet, in my deepest soul, I do hold and I believe that ultimately good will come from this crisis. One of my mentors these recent months especially has been Michael Mead. He's a renowned mythologist, anthropologist, and psychologist, kind of along the lines of Joseph Campbell. Yet Michael is a compelling storyteller, and he uses the drum, and he uses song, and he brings us myth to help us describe, to explain, and to help us expand our view of what is happening in these times right now. So he's been a guide and a mentor for me. He's a man with a great deal of compassion who's seen a lot of life. And I just truly believe he's one of our wise elders. So I wanted to start out by bringing you his broader perspective and words of wisdom about what we're going through now. So Mead describes this crisis in three parts. The first one being the descent. This is the falling apart of things separated. Excuse me. The breaking into chaos, disorder, the loss and extreme division of racism, politics, coronavirus, and climate destruction. We've all experienced the fear of the deadly virus, the marches, the violence, the disorder, and confusion. In his second part, he calls the darkness, we actually descend deeper. That's the bad news. I'll give you the good news. Hang on. As individuals, we go into our own pain and our own core wounds. So this is a time of facing and looking within and feeling it all. It is a liminal space that can seem endless. Yet, crisis also means opportunity, opportunity to grow and to heal. Mead says it's a dying into our inner darkness to release our inner vitality and our core imagination. He says when a situation feels like a matter of life and death, the deep self is close at hand, and it already carries inner medicine and its own life remedy. Third stage, eventually, it becomes the time of the return. And Meet says, as I quote, it is the way of all things that night ends and light returns. The light always returns. Not to the way it was, but with healing, we regain spontaneity and we grow resilience. And we go back to the world, each of us with our own gifts. And relying on our community, relying on our knowledge of unity, we can go back with the possibility of being, each of us, an agent of change. Mead says we are being called forth to transform ourselves and therefore the world. So I offer this conceptual framework just as food for thought, perhaps as a way of expanding on your thinking or my thinking about what's going on in the world right now. And yet, here we are now. This pandemic has caused so much hardship for so many people, economically, loss of jobs, isolation, restriction, loneliness, sadness, malaise. We've all felt it. We're all in it. Frustration, anxiety, fear, and depression. From parents turned into workers and teachers trying to do it all at home, from healthcare workers in full body gear and facing danger every day, to so many suddenly unemployed, to poverty, to homelessness, to racial inequities, and to the very real and profound grief of the loss of loved ones. And I know you've had the loss of loved ones in this congregation, and I'm sorry to hear that. So you know what? It's inevitable that we feel such intense feelings that we feel. I just want to normalize that. I just want to say that whatever you feel, whatever I feel, it's okay. It's okay. And it's to be expected, given the circumstances that we're in and have been in for so many months. So I'm going to pause for a minute for the lighter side, just for a sec. We would all agree it's been a roller coaster, right? Everyone agree it's been a roller coaster. Well, here are some ups and downs of the pandemic. So one day, you're loving your bubble, you're doing workouts, you're baking banana bread, and you're going for long walks. The next, you're crying, drinking gin for breakfast, and missing people you don't even like. Just a little bit of levity in the heaviness of what we're experiencing. I can't tell if you're laughing, so I hope you are. Anyway, I wanted to say that even with the optimism that I'm presenting and my real beliefs in a better day coming, I too have felt the fears. You know, recently, right before Thanksgiving, when we had that big surge, I totally surprised myself by going into complete fear. That just hit me like a rock. And for several weeks, I was in this state of just huge fear and anxiety and worry. And I know probably a lot of you have been there at various times in the last 10 or 11 months. It hits us all, I think, at some point. And in my story, I have a daughter who works in healthcare. And she was suddenly hospitalized during COVID, not for COVID, but for pulmonary embolisms. And it scared us all enormously. And so I've had that in my life. And she's better. And we're looking forward to full recovery. And I have a sister with dementia who's in a facility in British Columbia. And I can't see her. And I haven't seen her since February. And she can't see me. And it makes me very sad. And so that's my story with COVID. And, you know, there's many more losses. And I know each one of you has a story with COVID. And I'm sure everyone has losses. We all do. And I think, as a psychotherapist, I think what has happened to us now is emotional exhaustion. Another word for it would be burnout. It has just all gone on so long, too long, and we're depleted. We are emotionally spent. We can't move, and we kind of get stuck. We get stuck in that not being able to move place, and we don't want to feel it. We don't want to feel it because it hurts. And yet, as all the neurologists would agree, and as a therapist and as a grief counselor, I know that we have to keep feeling the feelings all the way through. Having lived through the hardest experience in my life, which was losing my beloved husband 4 years ago, I learned through the School of Hard Knocks that you have to feel it to heal it. And that has been my path to healing. And I know this for certain. And I know that not doing so puts us at risk for our bodies breaking down. And yet I want to say about that, this is not something to do alone. And a lot of people are alone right now. So I really want to talk about the fact that as human beings, we need other beings. Now, just a short, funny story about that. The story goes, this morning, I saw a neighbor talking to her dog. It was obvious. She thought her dog understood her. I came into the house and I told my cat. We laughed a lot. Well, seriously, I like that because I think our pets are, we all know, great companions for us. That little puppy who was on the screen a little while ago is just a reminder of what a gift our little animals are to us. And so can your congregation be, and I'm sure is, a source of community and a source of support for people here. So I really encourage you, if you're not, that this is a natural place to come together and help each other. Talk it out. Take a deep breath and go deep inside yourself and find the courage to say what you need and ask your friends in your group to be there for you and to help you through the rough times. If you have family, of course, and you're close to family and you can, they are a huge source of support. And even the ones who are far away, I think a lot of people are finding that if we talk to them online, we still feel better, even though they're far away. If you can, keep in touch or reconnect with old friends. That's something a lot of people are doing now. Or family you haven't seen for a long, long time. Or look around and see who might be a new friend at a time when we have time to make new friends. If you can, create a small safe pod for yourself so that you're not always alone. Join or create a support group. I have a women's group I've been in for 12 years, and we used to meet once a month, During COVID, we meet every week. We need each other. It really helps. And if you want to and you can, reach out to someone else who is alone. And you'll probably find you both feel better. Or if you tend to be the kind of person who always focuses on other people and their needs, then I would suggest maybe during this time is a time to bring some love and self-care to yourself and try to find a balance with that. If you're lucky enough to have somebody to hug, and I see pictures of people who might have somebody to hug in the room with them right now, try the 20-second hug. You know, even with someone you love, this is going to feel kind of awkward. 20 seconds can seem like a long time. But I'm asking you to try it anyway. 20-second hug. And just get through the awkwardness and discover how wonderful it can feel to just kind of sink in to each other and just hold and know that you're held. So what I'm talking about here is what can help. And I think first and foremost, we need each other. What else to do? All of the ideas that I'm talking about and I'm going to talk about are about moving through and completing the stress cycle and letting your body experience that you are safe. So I'm going to suggest another 9 or 10 strategies, not in any particular order, but they're all good. And if you get 1 or 2 nuggets from this, something that you're willing to try or something you're willing to add or even something that you know you've been doing and you realize how good it is for you, then I'll be happy with being here and sharing this with you. So the first one is breathe. Now, you might be smiling and you might be saying, oh, come on, I think I know how to breathe, woman. After all, I've been breathing for a lot of years here. And you have. And the truth is, though, I teach all my clients to breathe. And I do that because I want them, I want you to become aware of your breath, to really notice the breath and to pause during the day and kind of check in and see how you're breathing. Are you breathing up here in the throat where it's real, real shallow? Or are you breathing down in your abdomen, into your diaphragm, where you get a good, deep, cleansing breath? So what I'd like you to do right now is put your hand on your abdomen and just take a natural breath for you and notice, does your abdomen pooch out and fill with air when you inhale? And as you exhale, do you pull it back into your back? That's what we want to do. It's kind of counterintuitive, and a lot of us suck in when we breathe rather than filling ourselves out. So now try it again and take a deep breath, breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth, with your hand on your abdomen. You're going to fill out your abdomen with air and then let it sink back, counting to 4 on the inhale and 6 on the exhale. I'll do it with you. And then take a natural breath. And I'd like you to try 2 more just on your own, at your own pace. Breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth, counting in 4, out 6. And then just relax. Thank you. Now, breathing naturally, would you notice your feet on the floor? I want you to imagine that your feet are on the earth and actually going into the earth. This is grounding. And as we ground, we are connecting ourselves to Mother Earth and to the earth energy. And notice your seat in the chair. And if you like, you can imagine a cord that goes down through your spine all the way down and into the center of the earth and holds you snug and tight to the earth. So sit a little more straight in your chair if you can and just feel yourself ground into the earth. And then imagine that you're bringing up earth energy through the bottom of your feet, up into your legs and your thighs and into your pelvic region. And this good, strong, rich earth energy is just moving through your lower body, holding you securely and safely to the earth. And now imagine that there's light coming in through the top of your head, through your crown chakra. Just bring in the light and bring it down into your head and in through over your neck and through your neck and your shoulders, into your arms, out your fingers, into your torso, down through your abdomen, into your pelvic region, and mixing and merging with the earth energy. And just take a moment, take another deep breath, feel yourself grounded to the earth and connected to the light. This is a good thing you can do by yourself and for yourself to bring you to a state of calm. Moving on, one of the most effective strategies, especially now during COVID, is physical activity. Now, I'm aware not everyone can do a lot of physical activity, so this is about doing what you can, but it's about moving. Move whatever body parts you can move, you know. Any form, any movement you can do is good. Can you stretch? Then stretch. Just stretch your arms out, stretch your legs out, stretch your body out, and just move it around. Can you wiggle? Can you shake? I'm going to ask you, don't look at each other. I just want you to do a little shaking right now. So forget about everybody else and just wiggle and shake. And I know this sounds really silly and a really funny thing. And why are we doing this shaking? Well, actually, we are doing this shaking because it is one of the antidotes for shock and for trauma. There's a book called Waking the Tiger by Peter Levine, and he talks about the animals. And he says that when a gazelle is attacked by a lion, if she can escape, she will run into the grass in the savanna, and she will shake. And she will shake all over until she shakes it all out. And he says, we have the same instinct to do that. We're just too self-conscious and we just think too much. And so we don't do it. But when you've been shocked by something or when you've been traumatized by something, honestly, if you just let yourself shake it out. I was in a bike accident one time and it really helped to shake it out. So I do that every morning. It's part of my morning routine. It's kind of fun. If you can, for physical exercise, walk. If you can walk, walk. Start out walking once or twice a week. Build up to 3 or 4 times a week. If you start walking regularly, you may find that you want to walk regularly. You may even find that you want to walk every day. You know, I walk almost every day now. I confess that I didn't walk every day before COVID, but I have found that it saves me. Walking does. I feel better. And that's what motivates me. I know that I'll feel better. So go for a 10-minute walk. Go for a 20-minute walk. If you can walk for 40 minutes, if you're really strong, you can walk for an hour. Do what is right for you. but move. If you can run, do that, all the better. If you can dance, some people love to dance. Even if you don't love to dance, try it. Dance to the music in your living room. It gets your body moving. It helps. Anything physical, ride a bike, ski, snowshoe. If you're good and strong, you'll have lots of ideas for what you can do. If you're not good and strong, sit or lie down and try this old exercise from gym class. Do you remember that one where you tense your muscles and then you release them? So it's one muscle at a time. You just go through your body. Start with your feet. Tense your toes. Relax your toes. Tense your foot. Relax your foot. Tense your ankle. Relax your ankle. And just, you know, gradually go through your whole body. It has a way of relaxing and making you feel better. And it's pretty easy for most of us to do. If you know one of the gentler practices, do that. Qigong is pretty quiet. Tai Chi is pretty gentle. Some kinds of yoga are pretty gentle and flowing, and they're all really good for the body and for the mind. Do those. Anything in the yard, gardening, yard work, any kind of physical labor out there is certainly good for us. It's probably not the right time of year to be doing it a lot, but if you can, get outside. So what I want to share about the physical activity is just honor your own limitations, but do your best to move. It's one of our best assets right now during COVID. And best of all, weather permitting, do your activities outside, or at least get out. Get out in nature. Get out in nature every day if you can and breathe in the freshness. Breathe in the green. Smell the earth. Smell the leaves. Smell the cedar trees. Just simply take in the stillness and the beauty of this beautiful Northwest we live in. And make it a point to do that. Make it a point to be grateful for what we have in nature here. I think we have to do these things during COVID to keep ourselves going. The next one is laugh. Now, I'm not talking chuckles. Chuckles are good. Chuckles are fine. Do those too. But I'm really talking about the big old belly laugh. If you remember, back to middle school when you used to giggle with your friends. When it was so contagious that you started laughing and you couldn't stop. Do you remember ever doing that? Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's the belly laugh that just gets it all out. That is so good for our health. You know, about 2 months ago, I had the privilege, really, of having a, quote, sort of normal weekend that I got to spend with my children and my grandchildren. And so the adults and the two granddaughters decided to play ping pong. Well, my granddaughters hadn't played ping pong very much, and they weren't very good at it. And they were bouncing it off the walls, and they were bouncing off the ceiling and off the door and off the floor, and they were missing it. And they got the giggles doing it. And they started to laugh, and they just laughed and laughed and laughed. And pretty soon the adults are laughing too. And we've all got the giggles, and we're practically rolling on the floor. And it was wonderful. And it was wonderful because, you know what? We hadn't laughed like that in months. And it just happened spontaneously. So if you can find a funny movie, if you've got, know somebody who'll tell you a joke, anything at all to get that energy moving and have a good belly laugh. And along with that goes a big old cry. Because like belly laughing, crying is a release. And crying completes the stress cycle, which is what we have to do. So because I know crying is hard for a lot of people, and I know a lot of people are self-conscious about crying, and a lot of us have gotten really negative messages about crying, It's important. So just notice if you feel the slightest tears starting to come, and rather than pushing them back, rather than resisting them, just let the tears come. And if this is hard for you, try to stop feeding the monkey mind, stop feeding the thoughts, and just pay attention to what's going on in the sensations in your body, and just allow it to happen naturally. We need to cry all the way through, just like we need to laugh all the way through. And that makes us healthier. It helps us clear. So moving on. This actually, I want to mention that I got from Sally Riggers, who said, what if we just suggest that people do one little thing a day? Do you remember that, Sally? And her idea is to, how about organize your spices? You've probably been meaning to do it for about 30 years and you haven't done it, and they're old and stale. And so throw out the old ones and clean up and get new ones and organize them the way you want them. And that can be it for a day. You know, we don't have to do big things. Small things are fine, but something that makes us feel like we're accomplishing something. Something that makes us feel like we're moving forward. Something that just makes us feel better about ourselves or our lives. So it can be very simple, very small. Or perhaps write a note to someone. You've been meaning to write or call or text or email someone. Just do that one thing in a day. And you'll feel better and you'll feel it coming back to you as well. Another idea, this is not a new one, be creative. This is not about being talented or being musical or being a star or being an artist. This is really about immersing yourself in something. Something that takes all of your attention and keeps you just consumed for a little while with what you're doing. That's where we get the benefit. So it can be anything, bake, cook, knit, pick up crocheting that you may not have done for 20 years, color, doodle, garden, any kind of music, go out in the shop and putter, make something, any kind of anything that is creative, and many, many things in life are creative. So we can all come up with something. About maybe 2.5 years ago, I discovered Soul Collage, which George mentioned in my introduction. Well, I'm not an artist at all, but Soul Collage doesn't require being an artist. However, it's this wonderful, deep experience where you do a meditation and go in and essentially connect with your soul. And then you come out and you choose images that appeal to you, and you make a picture. And then you communicate, you dialogue with your picture, and you learn all kinds of things about yourself. I know that's kind of a brief and probably hard to understand explanation of it. But anyway, for me, it was just a great new something to try. And I liked it so much that then I went to the training and I learned to be a facilitator so I could teach it to other people. And I do that sometimes. And I use it with my therapy. So it doesn't have to be Soul Collage. That's just an example. But some of you may be drawn to try something new, whatever appeals to you, whatever you kind of see it online, and there's all kinds of classes and things you can do online for free. Give it a try. Being creative is good for our bodies and good for our souls. Okay, the last one I'm offering you, and I'm probably out of time, but I'm going to do this. The last one I'm offering you is gratitude. And I'm going to do a visualization with you with gratitude. About 11 years ago, I was given a diagnosis of breast cancer, and it was a shock to me. And I realized in that experience that I had to face my own mortality. And I had been putting that off. I kind of thought I might do that later. I didn't want to do that. But this turned out to be a dark night of the soul for me. And for probably 3 months, I was in a dark place as I wrestled with death and dying. And, you know, gradually I came through that. I did a lot of reading, a lot of meditating, a lot of talking, a lot of things. But gradually I came through that, and I came out of that feeling of being in the underworld back into this world. And what I realized is when I'm thankful, when I'm grateful for what I have in my life, I can even face my own death and dying without fear. So I offer you gratitude as one of our greatest gifts to remember and to practice. So what I want you to do right now is remember the grounding and just notice your feet on the floor and be grounded. Remember the breathing. We're going to pay attention to our breath. I would like you to close your eyes or lower your eyes down towards the floor, which I will do as well. And I want you to pay attention to your breath. Now bring your attention to your heart, to your heart space, to this great big electromagnetic heart field that we have. And imagine that you're breathing in and out through your heart. Breathing in, breathing out, just naturally. When your mind goes away, simply bring it back without judgment and put your attention on breathing through your heart. We're going to do this for 1 minute silently. Don't go away. This is not time. There's not enough time to go to the bathroom or go get your tea. Stay with it. We're going to sit for 1 minute and I will time it and then I will give you an instruction. Breathing in, breathing out. Now think of something or someone you appreciate. Stay with it and just notice the little half smile. I'd like you to stay in the feeling. And those of you who are comfortable with unmuting yourselves, unmute yourselves. And when you're unmuted, for those who want to, I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, simply say your word. And we will just say it all together. And then you can mute yourselves again. So one, two, three. Clearly and lovingly say your word. Mute yourselves again. So that practice, that visualization comes from HeartMath. You can Google it. It's been researched for research. It's a project that's been researched for about 20 years or so. They've been researching the heart rate. And what they have found is that we have a different heart rate depending on what emotional state we're in. And they have discovered that the state of gratitude brings us into heart coherence. Now, I did a training in this a number of years ago. And when I went, before they taught us anything, they measured our heart rate and showed us on a screen. And mine was just kind of jiggly and scribbly. Didn't look all that great. Well, after doing the visualization, they did it again. And my heart rate looked like this. It was coherent. And what they've realized is that we can all come into heart coherence, actually, not only in ourselves, but with each other, when we're in a state of gratitude, which I find pretty amazing. On Tuesday night this week, I did a meditation that was a worldwide meditation with HeartMath on their app. And everyone went into a state of gratitude and therefore into heart coherence. And then we had all these people all around the world putting out love to the world. So it was quite beautiful. So hold on to that. That's something you can do on your own as well. Or you can look it up on HeartMath. So in summary, because I know it's time to close, I want to say that moving into calm, as we just did, then moving into activity, which we talked about quite a bit, and then moving back into calm is a way to bring ourselves more often into a state of well-being. It creates balance in ourselves. And I want you to remember, as we all need to remember, as I believe, that we're all in this together. And it is through community that we best heal ourselves and the world. So I want to close my talk with what I call an intention, but you might also call it a prayer. And this is just my way of looking at it, but I'd like to share it with you. As I put out to all of us here, and I put out to the world for all of us, our intention is that each one of us realizes our unique gifts and experiences them more and more in a state of well-being and gratitude. We hold that in the energy generated to shift our own states of being into greater generosity and compassion, we'll shift the world's collective hearts and minds, inclining them more towards kindness and love. We know that we are creative individual points of divine consciousness, and we align with the power of justice, healing, community, and unity. We remember joyful well-being is our natural state, where kindness and compassion are the currency of our planet.